Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. We're going back to reconsider something we considered some time ago. And the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as is recorded by Dr. Luke. And so Luke chapter 6. Reading from verse 46 through to verse 49. Let's give attention to the Word of God and the Word of Christ. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing was the man whose house was ruined, devastated. We are on the cusp of another Christmas season. And a number of things during the week led me to think of this particular passage, which, as I said, we have considered before. Would it not be an eternal woe and disaster if we are among the people who celebrate Christmas, come to church, and yet have no part or interest or united to Jesus Christ? Imagine what that really is. To partake of a celebration that is named after Jesus Christ and yet having no part of him when it comes to his rulership and his salvation which he offers. Of course, much that happens during Christmas, even by Christians, has nothing to do biblically with Christ and his coming. Nevertheless, it does remind us of the greatest event in human history. And of course, the text here, and as the Bible everywhere tells us, to examine whether we are in the faith. And you'll notice that at the very beginning, Luke the physician, like Matthew the Levite and the apostle, reminds us who this is meant for. Verse 20, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples. If you go to verse 19, we're told that a whole multitude sought to touch him for power and the like. So there was a great multitude all around as the Lord Jesus Christ speaks or preaches and teaches this sermon. But it is directed specifically at his disciples. And so it's meant for us, isn't it? If we consider ourselves as his disciples, and it's meant for all the multitude who are within the hearing or the reading of the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is here both instructing and warning his disciples. All you have to do is read the very last words of the physician in this sermon, verse 49. It finishes with a dire warning of eternal consequence, which includes all of us. We want to begin by asking a basic question of the text. And that is, what does our Lord mean by this expression, house? You know, he says in verse 48, he is like a man building a house. What does that mean? By the way, before I forget, just in case I forget in time of application, not only is the stress on the disciples, look at verse 46, how they are described, but why do you call me Lord, Lord? These are people, there is importance in these languages and the biblical languages of repetition. And these are people who seem to be sincere in calling him Lord, Lord. Isn't it amazing? It's because we have been taught by poor example, even among Christians, there are very few who give him his proper title, Lord. So many prayers are made in the name of Jesus. These people go further than that. They call him Lord, Lord. It's a proper address. But then he says, you do not do what I say. So what is it? What does the Lord mean when he says, the house? Well, the house has to do with those who are his disciples and who call him Lord and who are followers of him, and their life. The way they think, the way they conduct their lives, the way they pursue things. It's just simply an expression for how the disciples of Jesus live their lives, how they spend their time, how they allocate their resources. Of course, our time is not our time. Our life is not our life. Whether you're a believer or unbeliever, the resources are not ours. It's given to us. We are merely stewards. How we spend our money, how we spend our energies. What are the things that drives us, our hopes? What are the things that shake us? Our efforts. All this is covered under the phrase building of a house, living of a life. It's probably as good a way to explain it, explain this metaphor as anything else. And so he speaks about the living of a life and all it encompasses. And then we are told that the rain and the flood and the wind blowing and beating upon the house, well, what are they? Well, there are calamities, the times of trial, the times of grief. And life cannot be lived without facing these difficulties. But there are also other types of storms. The evil day of temptation, look how Paul puts it in Ephesians 6:13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. This is the evil day of temptation, of unbelief, of living like the world, of not obeying God's word, or it might be a seduction to a particular sin or sins. But of course, the ultimate peak of these calamities is death and judgment. It is appointed for man once to die, but after that, the judgment. In the very last sermon, here we have the very first sermon, in the very last sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ, recorded for us by Matthew, in chapter 25 and 32, he says the same things. He says, all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Or as the Apostle Peter puts it in 2 Peter 3:7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved, appointed for fire until the day of judgment and perdition. Perdition means damnation, destruction of ungodly men. Talks about destruction by fire because the Lord spoke, remember, after the flood, that he would never again destroy the whole earth by the waters of the flood. But the final and the complete judgment will be by fire, and the earth is reserved for that. You can already see on the earth the judgment upon this world. Romans 1. The very proclivity or the tendency to sin without inhibition, without repentance, is a judgment. You read Romans 1 three times, it's repeated over, and God gave them over. He gave them over. My dear listener, take the words of the Lord Jesus Christ seriously. Whether you feel you are among the multitudes, and especially for all of us who consider him Lord and Savior and his disciple. And then we are told that the ruin of this man's life is great. That's an eternal or an infinite understatement. The total devastation, ruination. As something of this is given in the prophecy according to Jeremiah. It talks about the potter and the clay. And it talks about the potter wanting to make a vessel for good use, but then it became marred, it became ruined in the potter's hands. God created us for himself. He created us to be like him. He created us to know him and to worship him. And you look at the world today. Not only is man marred, everything he touches is in part ruination. But there will come a day when there will be utter and final ruination. And the Lord Jesus Christ is warning his disciples. He lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, so he's speaking to me. And each one of you who consider yourself his disciple. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us there is a way to be wise in the manner of our living. He warns and he ends with a warning so that we might, in the fear of God, in the fear of judgment, and the love of God, learn to live wisely. Well, what does he say? Now, first of all, wisdom means that we ought to be aware of these things. We should be aware of the judgment to come. We should especially be aware that merely calling him Lord, with all that involves, serving him, preaching, and all those things, is not enough. We need to do certain things. And the very first thing he says, whoever comes to me. That's the first thing we ought to do. And this is not merely a first coming, it's keeping on coming to him. Coming to church is coming to him. Coming to the prayer meeting is coming to him. Coming to your place, wherever it may be, maybe you do it while you're being, while you're being transported in a train or bus or driving, in your personal lives. We ought to come to him to tell us about our lives and how we are building. Whether our days, so easy, isn't it, especially as you get older, not to examine ourselves and not to examine our days and to see whether we are building wisely. If you have not come to Jesus, the Lord and Savior, that's where you begin. And for those who have come, we've got to keep on coming to him, turning to him. Have you come to him? After all these weeks and years, and you're going to celebrate Christmas, have you come to him? In your heart? Preferably with an open Bible, or if you know the words in your mind, come to him. Do not be foolish. You're on the path of folly and destruction if you do not come to him. Secondly, hear his sayings. This, of course, includes the entirety of the Bible because Jesus Christ himself lived according to the Old Testament. And whenever he spoke about the Bible, he spoke, you remember, later on we'll come to Luke 16, he says, hear Moses and the prophets. Keep on hearing his word. Read his word systematically. It's never too late to begin. He said, well, I've wasted many years, so have I. Even in the service of the Lord, you can waste a lot of time. Remember Joel's prophecy, return to us the years that the locusts have eaten. And the Lord can do that. But we must come to him. We must hear his words. Every chance you get. After all, he is the one who loves us and gave himself for us. And then we've got to do his word. What we hear and read must be put into practice. Works of repentance and works of faith. We must do it and right it when we fail. When we fail, we go back, listen to his words of comfort, forgiveness, and his reinstatement. To humble ourselves and to rejoice in his presence for his everlasting kindness to us. Remember that father in the prodigal son, the story, looking from afar. That's how our Heavenly Father is with each one of us. And then he adds here what's not there in the Gospel of Matthew, in the record. He says, who dug deep and laid his foundation. A big problem is the shallowness to which we are easily inclined. I think our age is a shallow one, but we are naturally predisposed to shallowness in spiritual things. But the Lord calls us to dig deep. How do we dig deep? We must get into the Word deeply. We must read good books. You know, there's classic biblical literature. You don't read hundreds of them, although it won't hurt you. We must grow in repentance and faith. Have we grown? We come to this Christmas time and we're buying presents, we're getting presents. We're all happy about the holidays. We're going to commit ourselves to thinking more deeply and learning more deeply at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him so that we might grow in repentance and faith. I've got to ask myself, is my heart more exercised in repentance and more confident in faith in Christ than I've been before? Forget all this merely saying, Lord, Lord, and preaching. Of course, the Lord speaks about those who did mighty things in his name. And yet he says, I did not know you. You know, the world gives fame, so does the church. And we can do things for a lot of reasons. Dug deep. I urge you, brothers and sisters, commit yourselves from now on. But don't wait for New Year resolution. From this day forward, to seeking the Lord more deeply. Dig deep. There are lots of stimulating things that stimulates us and excites us. You remember what we are told in verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went forth from him and healed them all. And many came to him and asked him for signs and wonders. But he's speaking to his disciples. And he's asking them to dig deep, to obey him. How's our obedience? You know, we can speak about a lot of things. Experiences, his faithfulness to us, yes. But we need to grow in the things of God. It's another way of saying that we desire deeply that which God desires for us, growing in sanctification. This is the will of God for you, even your sanctification, which is becoming more like the Lord Christ. Supernatural and spiritual and eternal realities have to be sought. We have to dig deep. We have to build upon the things we know. And we have to come to him repetitively, individually and collectively, to ask the Lord. And by the way, you cannot grow apart from a body of believers. That's why the church is crucial, as the Apostle Paul says, together with all the people of God. He's not talking about the universal church there, that you will come to know the depth and the breadth and the height of the love of God in Christ Jesus. And so this word is for us. And this word is instruction so that we might be wise. In the face of uncertainties, in the face of calamities, in the face of tragedies, in the face of diminishing life. That's what's happening to us as we get older. Most of us in this church have more behind us than there is ahead of us. And we have to face these things. And we cannot avoid disasters. Even if we avoid a great majority of them, like most of us have lived in very comfortable circumstances, we will not avoid the evil day of temptation, the day of judgment, and before that, the day of death. So may the Lord help us to thank God the Father for sending his Son, and God the Son for coming to save us and to redeem us. And may we hear his voice so that we might come to him repeatedly. And that we might come to him truly to hear and to do what he has to say to us. And that we might increase in depth of the knowledge and the love of God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to build upon him and his words. You know, this record closes with a warning, verse 49. But ye who heard and did nothing, are you doing nothing? Week after week after week after week, you're doing nothing. Maybe you're doing more than nothing. You're resisting. But here's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this so that you might turn from your ways. It's forewarning. The stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Why would you be responsible for the ruination of your souls? Isn't it amazing people listen to everyone else? People listen to utterly sinful and vile people. Who are the stars and the intellectuals of our day? By the way, Paul, I forget his name. I think he wrote two fairly substantial books on the intellectuals of this world. And while they contributed in many areas of life, they show the utter depravity of their lives. Bertrand Russell and many others. Nietzsche, Hitler's great guru. And we will even listen to ourselves. And we know we are limited, we know we are foolish, but we will not listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. We not only want to do nothing, but we resist it. And if we are believers, of course we acquiesce. We agree, but we really don't want to do any more than what we are already doing. Well, that's folly. But if we reject him and we put our trust in man, whether it's yourself or any man, This is what Jehovah says. Thus says Jehovah, Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man who puts his trust in man and makes flesh his strength or support, whose heart departs from Jehovah. Oh, it is our prayer and it's the cry of our heart that there be no one who listens to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and Jehovah God in Jeremiah and departs from him. Come to him, hear his words, and trust in him. And may the Lord help us all to grow in depth. Forget what else happens. If the Lord gives us another year, then maybe look back and say that by the Lord's grace, we've grown in some measure of faith and repentance and love and obedience to God because of his great love for us in Jesus Christ. And help us to dig deeper and build upon him and his words. Amen. We're going to sing in response to one of the most glorious hymns, 554, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. And if we think about what we've considered, built having dug deeply, keeping on digging deeply. Hymn number 554.
Blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the twigger's frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the Son.